Five, four, we have ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have liftoff.
Welcome to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am the host, and I just happen to be the birthday girl, too, Golden Hawk. And with me tonight is my girl, the enchanting Janine Kimmel, who's home from Ireland. Yay! Welcome to the show, Janine. Hello? Janine?
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was like...
I put you on...
Unmute?
Was that mute so I could look up how to say happy birthday in Irish.
Oh.
And I was gonna play the voice part, so I said it correctly, but I believe it's Britla Zona, and it's Irish for happy birthday.
Oh, so. Thank you. And how do you say thank you in Irish?
That's a good question, because we had... a lot of the kids that we went to the school. Thank you. Oh, okay. Go rob mat agat.
Go rob atamat.
Go rob mat agat.
Go rob
like
mat. Go
four
rob
words.
Mat agat.
Got. Yeah, and when we went to the schools to read the story, the kids would say thank you and speak in their Irish language, and it was pretty amazing. But
nice.
It's an incredible language. But anyway, here I am, and happy birthday, and
I'm glad
to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here, too.
It's like 3 in the morning for me, but I'm doing good. I feel good. Your peppermint tea recommendation was a good idea.
Okay, did you get some peppermint tea? Is that what you got?
I did.
Right on, okay, yes.
Very good idea.
Janine is still on Irish time. She comes here very green tonight, which is, I do appreciate, if it wasn't my birthday, I would have said, sleep it off, we'll do the show during the week.
Yeah, I really wanted to, though.
I appreciate that, because... you know, it's been an interesting 14 days or whatever without you. I don't even know how long it is.
It's like 11 or 10 or something. But
yeah, trust me,
yeah.
It felt like 59, but that's beside the point. A lot has been happening. I mean, and of course, a lot's been happening with you. You know, to be quite honest, the show this is as live as it gets in that, you know, when Janine shares... I did not talk. Janine landed earlier today, but, you know, I knew she had, you know, she's just getting home, so she wants to do, you know, take care of her business and stuff. So I haven't spoken to her, and so we'll share tonight. Yeah, you know, it'll be as new to me as it is to everybody in the audience. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. And, you know, one of the things I want to share, though, first of all, boy, God bless the days, because for now I'm just going to kind of go with like last week for myself. We haven't been having solar flares, but there has been a lot of earthquake activity happening on the planet, and it's so interesting because there have been like earthquakes happening in my relationships, and it's so interesting because what I've been focusing on lately is it's not even just about relationships, as you know, like me and Scott have, we have a relationship, me and Janine have a relationship. I'm talking about earthquakes in the whole art of relating. Because I have belief systems that are, the best way I can describe them is, they are old belief systems manifesting in front of me, but my witness is now acclimated to a new belief system. So, you know, I'm kind of just sitting there watching, you know, there's really no other way to put it, but I'm watching this drama happen right in front of me, and I'm like, I mean, I guess I'm detached from it because, you know, me and Janine spoke briefly. I wanted to catch her up a little bit, what was going on with me for the past 2 weeks. But there are so many things, whether they're work-related, me and Scott, me and life, that, you know, when I hear people say, you know, we're in 2013 and nothing's changing. When is the change going to happen? You know, I swear I go, wow. That reminds me of like when people say, I'm as flabbergasted at the statement, when are the changes going to happen, as I am when I hear, I'm bored.
Yeah.
You know, like, these are concepts for me personally. I'm like, that's not my experience. I'm definitely not bored. I'm definitely, and when are the changes going to start? You know, wow, for me, they're in full blown. They're happening. February 19th was a very interesting day for me. Most of it happened unnoticed, but there were some personal experiences centered around me and Scott and just myself, and like I said, relating with the world, that there's big stuff happening for me, in the sense of, and I get the sense that a lot of people are going through this as well. I know Alana said she was going through this as well, and you know, by a show of hands, everybody, how many people right now are feeling two distinct trajectories in their life? And the distinction is, on one hand, you're loving life, you're feeling good. Where you're at is where you want to be, and when I say where you're at is where you want to be, and I'm talking about in a very present state, you know, because I get it, it's easy enough to, you literally just take a millimeter outside of that space and you can get caught up in the wind, the whirlwind of, you know, the planet's going to hell in a, you know, in a handbasket. So, but there's a space in us that, there's a part of us that feels great where we are. And then simultaneously, there's a part of me that is absolutely lost and confused. I won't say confused, because confusion says that I'm looking to find the space, and I'm really learning. No, don't. There's no. I'm not looking to find anything. I'm simply witnessing an unknownness, a true unknowing of every day. You know, like somebody said to me, "How's your birthday going today?" And I was like, you know, I rub my hand over my forehead and go, "Shh. Today it's a good day," because it could just as easily be a bad day. You know, there's nothing, there's no preparation for everything that's showing up in my life. It's just showing up, and of course, and yet the paradox is, I've never felt more prepared to handle things that I would consider unpredictable and the unknown than I do today. So.
Yeah. I agree that the two, there does feel like there's a two distinct you know, ways of seeing the day or a situation. And you know, you had mentioned soul and ego, and then I was thinking, well, that's interesting, because when you can feel that distinction, there is the freedom of choice there. You're not like, I like that there's not this sort of, you can't detach from the situation and therefore have no ability to make a choice of where you're going to go with something. You know, are you going to jump into the drama? Or see, because even by the decision to jump in means that you actually have the decision not to, which is a good day when you can really know and feel that there's a choice there. And another thing that you just said to that, you know, it's funny when you get something deeper, even though you've heard something so many times. What I got when you said, you know, we can simultaneously feel like, oh, where I am is really good. And what I got from that was, and that is not by the old measuring tools. That is not
right on.
Where you are today, if it feels like right, but it has nothing to do with the checklist has been checked off, or the measuring of, you know, oh, I'm in a relationship, or oh, my bank account, or oh, my perfect job.
Yes.
In fact, if none of those things are checked
none
off,
of those things are there.
What?
In fact,
what?
None of those things. I couldn't check any of those things right now.
Right. No, but if you couldn't check any of those things, and you still have the ability, or you naturally are saying, where I am is good, that's an interesting place, because that isn't the old method of measuring.
Right.
Oh, let's assess where you are by the old measuring standards, you know, and
I love you, girlfriend. I love you.
And what
so
determines
brilliant.
When you arrive somewhere, you know, like, oh, I've arrived. What does that have to do with anything? You know, it's like, so when you were just talking, I just got more how, you know, it has nothing to do with the details of what we've been enculturated, taught, and trained to what it means that, you know, and now I have this, and I have that, and I did this, and I checked off that list, and it's like, well, what if none of that happened, and you're sitting there going, it's just about being, and, you know, and I know that there people say, I've said that, and it sounds good, but when you really start feeling that and getting that, then you go, ah, that's different, you know.
And notice
the word feel, because to me, that is the tip-off. Not like, you know, I know that we were talking just like 15 minutes before the show started, and I referred to George and Kelly is her name?
Kelly Lachey. Yeah.
Yeah. And Lisa Harrison, where they, in two different interviews, really discussed the value of feeling, and how even a lot of New Age workers try to get people away from feeling,
it's literally what has been coming at me for like the last 14 days, you know, in various ways.
Right.
People sharing, and it's they're sharing their beliefs that for them the question is coming up, you know, do I have to feel bad, or is that just a thought process? And if it's a thought process that makes me feel bad, then all I would have to do is change my thoughts,
right,
to make it so I don't feel bad anymore. And, you know, I can feel, you know, these people, these are friends, people I'm interviewing. I respect all of that as, you know, that's a very valid question, because what we're feeling when we're feeling bad feels shitty, man. It sucks feeling bad.
It's valuable, and there's nothing wrong with feeling bad and getting to that feeling, through that feeling, because there's pay dirt there. There's treasure there. You know, it's always, when I was like talking to people, I'm always surprised, and I know I say this a lot, but I am always surprised how we have been conditioned to stay away from our feelings. And
I'm raising my hand going, I was first in line. Remember?
Right, I know, and that's like a gatekeeper, so to speak.
It is a gatekeeper.
Right.
That is.
So,
hey, listen, we got a caller. Let's take the caller, and we'll come back to this, though. I'm going to put gatekeeper.
Sure.
I'm going to write that word, because I do want to talk about this.
Right.
But it's a birthday, and it's also, by the way, this is my today is the seventh year anniversary that I've been on the air, and 7's my lucky number. So I'm really blessed and glad that everybody's here, and Trish is here too, and hi Tricia, say hello to Sylvan for us when you see him. And okay, let's get the caller on. Area code 705, you're on the air.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Goldie. Happy birthday to you.
It's Thank you. Who is this
it's
lovely
Trisha.
Voice?
Hi.
Who is this?
Marcia.
Trisha?
Marcia from Canada.
I love
Canada. Yes.
You
I
are beautiful,
so.
Sister. Thank you. Oh, that was beautiful, my friend.
It's
so,
so
beautiful.
You can tell, both of you, my breathing is much better than
yes.
what it was.
Oh, good.
I can actually sing again. Woo!
Nice.
And how about that?
Okay.
That takes some lungs.
That does. And you sang beautifully. That was a beautiful, you really held that melody. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's coming
Thank
along.
You.
Nice. I have this theory about singing that everyone can sing as long as they sing from their own spirit and they're singing
yeah.
like yourself. So
I wholeheartedly agree.
And
I
you
do.
Have to feel, which is your gatekeeping thing.
Yeah, there it is.
I used to be such a professional.
Well, you know, professional can be overrated in the new energy because, I mean, I get what they're going for, but it seems so...
Blah.
And I'm going into the whole Illuminati space. I mean, don't mind me. That's just where Goldie goes. So let me not talk. I don't have to talk about that at this moment, though. So I'm going to back off on that.
I got the Illuminati thing. But
yeah, no, I know you do love, and I I'm not afraid to dive into it. But you know,
yeah.
as they say, it's a party. You know,
it's
let's keep
birthday.
It light.
It's a party.
We're gonna have fun.
We're
they take up way too much air time now, right?
Well, there's some truth in that. There's some
yeah.
truth in that. In fact, that's what we're gonna be talking about. Hang out. You're welcome to share with us. Because I want to talk about this whole gatekeeper subject because it was definitely coming at me this week where that is, you know, people are saying if I focus on the dark, I'm giving it power. And you know, personally this is what I find happens when people start looking at things from a very black and white perspective. Because
mm-hmm.
Now, yes, can you focus on the dark and give it more power? Hello, what do you think the Illuminati do? I mean, they are having rituals and sacrificing humans, calling upon these, you know, truly dark entities that will support them, their way of living and their lifestyle and who they are. So is there truth? If I focus on the dark, it will increase it? Yes. But now let's go to... And this is what George said in a recent interview, which I thought was so... No, let me rephrase that, which I felt was so brilliant. George said, the difference between organic darkness and artificial darkness is organic darkness will challenge you. Artificial darkness will deceive you.
Mm.
Now, when you feel into that...
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'll tell you... I love being challenged. I have loved being challenged since I was a kid, you know, with riddles that, you know, you have to figure out, you know, you get a few clues and the game of risk. And challenges, I think, are healthy. I think they flex whatever muscles. I think working out is like a physical challenge, you know, and I think, in my humble opinion, personal relationships are an emotional challenge. You know, it's... You know, it's learning how to work things out and get the pegs to fit correctly and putting together, you know, a jigsaw puzzle. But the artificial darkness is about deception. And that is a challenge that is not organic. And
yeah, and challenge is a great word because challenge is not, does not really, to me, doesn't have a negative connotation. It
at
really
all.
Is,
at
no.
all.
And it's quite natural. So... That's great. That's a great.
Well, so okay. So let me go. Okay. So now that we have that definition, so when people say, "If I'm focusing more on the darkness, will I create more?" And I say to you, well, are you, you know, I won't even say it this way. I'll say it from my own personal experience. I've had some people kind of dancing within my peripheral this past week, and they're inviting me into dramas that, in my humble opinion, are, they're fourth dimensional, because there's definitely what's involved is things not of the physical world. They're spiritual and, you know, forces of darkness. And what I'm getting from this is that, you know, and you guys know I explore this work, but it's funny when people come up to me and want me to participate in their dramas and in their challenges. See, I can see it as a challenge, but I can also see it from the drama point of view, that, you know, my heart goes, no, that, you know, this is not my fish to fry. At the moment, I don't feel attacked by any entities outside of this dimension. Now, I don't feel attacked, but I can tell you, my dreamscape has been quote unquote infiltrated. I track myself enough to know that I know I've got a hitchhiker on me. I know I've got it. In my humble opinion, we all got hitchhikers on us. So this is no longer, this isn't about, oh, you know, you've got one, but you don't. It's like, even George has admitted, you know, with all the work he's done, he's got hitchhikers. This comes down to the discernment between the organic dark, which are, you know, I guess ultimately challenges that I want to explore. And then there are challenges, and in my humble opinion, other people's fourth dimensional dramas, my ass don't need to be nowhere near that, because I personally, I have a sense of the fourth dimension, but I don't see the things that people see. I mean, I don't have a confidence per se of how to play in the fourth dimension. But here's what I'm learning. I'm learning that the virtues that I apply in the third dimension are creating a situation which is, in my humble opinion, where the fourth dimension can't fuck with me. And, you know, I know people are going to go, oh, that's just cocky. And it's like, no, because I know consciously my goal is to, I'm going fifth dimensional. That is my next stop. That is my next, that's my next port authority, so to speak. And I have been saying since 1992, and shucks, and the 7 years I've been on the air, the only reason why I do everything is so I can, and I'm now saying incend, not ascend, because I do recognize the difference. In my humble opinion, the ascension is a fourth dimensional experience. The incension is bypassing the fourth dimension and going, and not bypassing it from the point of view that you're sneaking by, or, you know, oh, you got by without being noticed. No, I'm talking about the integration of your soul, which is the organic shadow work, the integration of that back into self, that you have so much confidence, you are so self-fulfilled, you are so soul-fulfilled, that literally you find yourself in the fifth dimension. It's simply a frequency all these fourth-dimensional beings, they just can't touch, because they are still in the fragmented, the shattered, the splintered, the fractured state of being. And that's where they have control. They don't have control when we unify ourselves back into that organic darkness. You know, it is the birthing place of all things organic. The seed births underground, the baby births in the belly. I mean, it's just becoming so clear to me. The darkness from an organic point of view should never be turned away from. Quite contraire. Open your arms, open your cells, open your heart. Take the pain in, because the pain is self. That's all it is self. And when you integrate it back in, oh my God, who you know yourself to be and how you know yourself to be, it literally, you'll literally go, when the fourth dimension you know, offers you a carrot to come into their space. You know, it's almost like they say that the vampire can only come into your house if you invite him or her. And in that wholeness that you get from integrating the organic dark, you really go, no, I'm really not interested, thanks, and you just shut the door. You don't got to kill it. You don't got to destroy it.
Mm-hmm.
You simply choose not to dance with it because it's not yours to dance with anymore.
Yeah, and, you know, and also, I think that that's a really good insight and point. And then what I was getting as you were talking as well is that one of the things about tracking oneself in these processes and noticing the feeling is also taking responsibility for your process and being aware of, and this is where the tracking comes in, are you taking responsibility for your process and how much of you is not needing to pull others into your own process just for the sake of, like, almost, that's almost a habit that we've done in the past, that we do in the past, where our process has to be kind of spread out there and you know, and I find that to be irresponsible. And so I love, with the word challenge, because Angela Sarian talks about the way of the warrior, the way of the leader, is really a person who's working on mastery of the unknown, and they need a challenge just without, you know, it's just like there it is, they need it, but they also take responsibility for their own process, and they're really good at tracking, not splashing their stuff around. So it's both sided. It's one is to be aware of other people's processes and do you really need to get pulled into one, and then the other one is your own process and can you take responsibility for it and not splash it all around? And that to me is a big piece of tracking. And it's honest tracking. It's like, because to me, that's like, as we get better at discerning all the judgment goes away, and then you just become a very astute tracker.
Let me interrupt that for one sec, because I can tell you, I wouldn't say the judgment goes away, because that is another thing. I definitely had judgments this week going on.
Yes.
But I don't mean
it goes away overnight. I mean, this is an organic process that you
Well, I believe, right. Judgment will be gone by the fifth dimension, but I don't know if it'll go away prior to that. But here's what I noticed. See, I was feeling things, and I would ask myself, okay, is my response to this person or this experience because of what I'm feeling or because of a program running? And I got, on both occasions that I was judging, it's a program.
Yeah. Well, it's a program that we've all been entrained in.
Absolutely.
And that's where I find tracking really is almost like a program breaker-upper. You know what I mean? Because when you can start to track something, you are literally breaking down the program.
Well, you're not breaking it down. You're breaking down the hold it has on you. That's the point I'm trying to... Meaning...
Yeah, the self program. Not maybe the entire program for everybody, but for yourself.
Well, because the judgment is still there. So do I look at myself and go, because I have judgment, meaning I'm not doing this the right way, I'm not making strides in my ascension? And what I'm starting to notice is it's not... This is about balance, you know. So many people are looking for the answers that eliminate the anger, eliminate the pain, eliminate the sadness. And, you know, in all honesty, as long as you're looking for that inorganic experience to eliminate these things, that's a trap to get you into a time-looped experience that's artificial. Because this, we live in a dualistic space. That means you're going to have the judgments, but what you learn and discern is you just simply don't act on them.
Well, it's interesting because what I was getting when you were saying that is one of the ways that I think judgment could be ignited, so to speak, or is when the program of either entrapment end on the other side of that rejection. So
okay.
either if you feel entrapped or rejected.
Oh, well, that's so funny. I felt it in both spaces. That's so
yeah,
funny.
No, no, I was going to say that.
Wow,
trigger,
okay.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that, just as you were talking, I was like, oh, there's the two triggers could be when we get triggered in the entrapment, in our own entrapment issues or our own rejection issues, and then that's where the judgment comes in. But I think the interesting thing is the judgment actually is about self, because and we project it out because what that'll do is that'll bring up very uncomfortable feelings about entrapment or rejection, which of course, you know, even in talking about it, and when we, you know, I could feel both things myself, like how those issues could bring up both entrapment and rejection at the same time.
Yeah, no, that's
you know?
Interesting.
And,
yeah.
And, yeah, and so, again, that's where I think how do you start really looking at that honestly, and that's where the judgment starts to diminish. Self-judgment goes, and once
self-judgment
starts going,
right on. Okay,
reflective
yes.
judgment will go, or projection, and
and I don't mean to keep interrupting.
No,
it's just
okay.
my experience at the moment, anyways, and I know it's limited with this whole fourth dimension, but my experience is that, you know, they literally whether they're reptilians or anything, any kind of being that essentially has mastery over the fourth dimension can come into our dream state and affect our dream state. It can come into your awake state, meaning, you know, your alpha consciousness, and put thoughts in your head, you know, because, you know, that's why I'm like, this isn't about trying to remove them from the ability to get the thoughts in my head. This is simply about mastering that when I get that thought, to recognize it as, this is not something I want to respond to. I don't want to, you know, break up with Scott because I have this judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to tell somebody off because I have a judgment. These are the things, because to me it feels like the mastery of the being is not about eliminating these fourth dimensional beings from being inside of me from the point of fighting them. I'm going to eliminate them because if I live a virtuous life, energetically I become distasteful to them.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Because it's like a flavor, like I'm becoming bitter to the fourth dimensional being. And I use the word virtuous because I don't think it's about, quote-unquote, only being kind all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's very one-sided, you know. I think, I feel, anyways, I'm allowed to be angry, but it's almost like there's an anger that I feel is, there's righteous anger. You know, I'm angry when I see, you know, a small child being abused. You're damn fucking straight I'm angry. But do I stay in that anger, or do I take that anger and then literally I have to, you know, kind of work it through so that I come to the space of I need to get to the neutrality of it, but not through suppression of the anger, through actually allowing it to come out, but not myself then becoming, you know, I can't be pissed off at the kid getting hurt and then go around and kick the dog.
Right.
Then I'm just perpetuating the anger. I got to literally take the anger in and not respond angrily physically or you know, as an action.
And you know, what do you stand for? I like virtues, too, because it's like, what do you stand for? And then, you know, authenticity really kind of covers pretty much everything and includes kindness, but kindness isn't the... You know,
it includes
in
it, right? But it, right? I mean, because it's this whole the love and lighters that just want
to
talk.
Yeah, that can be a trap.
Because you know, to be honest, I'm a very polite, courteous person, you know. But if someone, you know, snoots, you know, their nose up in the air at me, I have no problem snooting my nose right back. I mean, and truth is that might still be part of my program that, you know, allows the fourth dimensional beings in. Like, because one of the things I noticed in a conversation I had recently with Ryan, I don't know if Ryan's out there, but hey, Ryan, was we were talking about, you know, women having a voice. And, you know, I told him, I said, you know, I've never met an argument that I would walk away from. I've never met an argument I didn't like. I am very, I can argue with the best of them. I'm not afraid to argue. And he was like, oh, well, I wouldn't want to argue with you. And I was like, I appreciate that, but I hope you can appreciate that the feminine has been, you know, really, you know, we were not allowed to even vote until the late 1900s or mid-1900s. I mean, like, our voice and our space has been suppressed for a long time. So, you know, I said it's funny because I'm a female, but inherently I'm more masculine inside than I am feminine. And I think that's perfect for a lifetime like where we're at today because, you know, I can see the benefits of a group called Anonymous who are hacking into computers because this isn't just about, you know, love enlightening the elite into doing the right thing. This is about going in and kicking them in their balls, which is, you know, get them in the computer, man. You got them by the balls. I like that. That to me is, that's, you know, I don't know. That to me is strength. And, you know, I like that. I mean,
yeah,
I think that's why I resonate with the organic darkness, which is, it's challenges. You know, these are challenging times, definitely, definitely. But these are also times where, given the right set of circumstances, you will find in yourself a space of presence that is just so unbelievably powerful isn't even the word for it. It's unbelievably fulfilling for the organic purpose. And it will show up as, you know, it would protect you during, if you were to get, you know, violence against you. It can change a situation. There can be a barroom brawl, and you just walk in your presence, and, you know, people start sitting around and wanting to talk about things. You know, it can help people see the similarities instead of focusing on the differences, or at least see the differences as something that's, you know, awe-inspiring instead of, you know, you're different, therefore you're bad. It's a panacea for the times we're living in. And they, presence does not come on only the wings of butterflies and cotton candy. I mean, presence comes from being willing to see the truth to the depth that the truth exists.
Yeah. Now, you know, it's funny because I was thinking of when I was in Ireland, there's no television there, but I've been there enough where they have the same DVDs for the last, like, 6 years there, and I'm like, okay, I'll watch Lord of the Rings once more. but there's two scenes where Gandalf, you know, who's the wizard, he this big shadowy fiery thing is following them all in the cave.
Yeah.
As they're going through the mines of Moria or something, and he turns around and he yells at them at this beast or something very firmly, "You shall not pass," you know.
Yes.
But I was just thinking, you know, it isn't always about kindness. It's about, you know, meeting the challenge. He turns around and he says to this thing of shadow and fire, and "You shall not pass." And then the thing drops down and Gandalf voluntarily goes after it. And then I think
no,
really
he didn't.
Cool.
No, it wrapped around his foot.
Yeah, but then it let it go. And literally,
well, he was hanging by. I mean, I don't think it was voluntary when he was hanging.
They all could have helped him, or he definitely could have gotten up. He just said, "Fly, you fools!" And he drops. I mean, if you watch it, it's many times.
Oh, that's interesting. That I never saw that as purposeful. That is very interesting that you saw that.
He does tell it can't pass, which is very firm.
Right.
Like, boom. You know, it's not like, please go away. You know?
Right,
and,
right.
And,
here's some cookies.
And,
please don't hurt us.
And then he goes after it, too, because it's really his process. And then
right.
I love in the that's
right.
the you know in the next so the next
the third one two, right
no so that's the first one but then in the
oh,
two
okay.
towers which is the next one
okay
he returns as Gandalf the more enlightened
the white.
One or something
right
the white right and he walks into the Rohan place and that guy Wormtongue or something tries to like. You know, say, oh, what are you doing here? And he knocks the guy in the head with his staff and he goes, I didn't walk through shadow and fire to deal with someone with like you. And
yeah,
I
piece
like,
of shit like him.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's just so, you know, but those two scenes really popped in my head as you were talking about, you know, your authenticity, meeting the challenge, you know, I mean, I love storytelling. It's part of what I just am drawn to and do myself and I see things in stories and images so it was just popped in that, you know, this is the kind of meeting the challenge thing. It's not like sometimes that's the energy it takes or no, a lot of times actually. So yeah, it was just funny. I've seen it so many times.
You know, that was a great shift. That was because I'll
yeah,
tell
yeah.
you, Janine goes away for 12 days and the experiences I had were, you know, and it's so interesting because, you know, there really is there's no other way to explain this other than I can see my own progress that, you know, I was telling Janine this prior to being on the show tonight. Invitations can come in from all sides. Invitations from, you know, the light, the dark, and, you know, I really do know in my own physical, and this is very much a body conscious knowing, I know what I'm supposed to dance with and what I don't have to dance with anymore. I really do, and I know that simply because the things that were, the opportunities that were coming to me, you know, they're just, well, there's just no other way to explain it other than when I went inside, it was like, they're not yours, you know, and it's
yeah.
like, and it's so interesting because I didn't really know that you could discern that way until this week. You know, I was really under the assumption everything that comes to me, you know, I'm going to dance with everything. But it's because everything that comes to me of late, meaning not this past 14 days, before that, it is mine. So, you know, I just assumed it was everything. But I clearly got, you know, Janine left town and you know, it's almost like, you know, because I know for a fact you helped me hold the frequency. And of course, you know my goal is to hold it on my own, which is, you know, I mean, last time Janine went away, not to Ireland, but to California, we were talking, I canceled the show. Me and Scott had a fight, and I was like, I was beside myself. I was very emotional. I was pissed off. I felt very vulnerable. And we were talking about that tonight, that when she went to Ireland this time, I mean, like, I purposely didn't call Janine 3 days before she left for Ireland. It was like, you know, I was like, she's not going to be able to talk to you. Can you deal with that? You know, like, because that's what life is right now. She's going to go away. Now deal with it. And
but
again,
I called you, right? Cause
pardon?
Didn't I call you? I even called you. Like,
you did. Going. You're all right. And I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm just preparing. space shuttle.
But it's funny because even with the energy of you not calling, then it allows for me to call. It was just like a beautiful flip around. You know what I mean?
No, that's like, I didn't even notice that, but right on.
Yeah. And I, you know, I did have like, you know, I was like, oh, call Goldie, say hi, you know, so, but I love that you know, and I hear it too where, and I know those moments when you recognize your own progress.
Yeah.
When you see that you don't have to take something on or it's not yours and there's this, and I love that you use the word body because it is visceral.
It is.
You know what it is, I think, I feel.
You know,
it's a sense of liberation or freedom or another integrated another integrated part of yourself, which then adds more and more and more to your own sovereignty, which is really like an incredible feeling of like, oh, that's what that is, you know. And I know it very well, and I get excited when I hear someone else, you know, recognize it in themselves. Where I'm feeling it with them, like, yeah, isn't that amazing? And it can happen anytime, any day.
Well, yeah, but I gotta just add the caveat of
what?
That this comes from a space of me turning nothing away. You know, see,
nice.
All of these things are, it's, you know, discernment works, but, you know, we all know the people that are burying their heads in the sand and going, you know, you know, they don't want to look at the fact that, you know, there's still human sacrifices going on today. I mean,
listen, that was Gandalf dropping off. Watch that scene again.
I will.
He clearly could, but he drops off. He goes after it. It's not like, you know.
That's interesting, because like I said, I've never seen.
The monster went away. That was his, he had to go after that.
Well, because he wanted, right, because then you said it, because that was his journey. Because, you know, people, I see it happen all the time with even, you know, exquisite speakers like George, where they take what he says and they twist it, you know, and it's like, you know, here's the bottom line. You're alive in 2013. You should be doing self-work. I mean, I don't care what you're doing, but it should be some sort of self-work right now. It is not about all feeling good, but it is about a clarity of, you know, for me anyways, you know, am I doing this? Because, like, I'm getting the fourth dimension in all its beauty, in all its duality, is essentially, it's a time loop. It is, and time is artificial. The fourth dimension is a dimension that's been created by all of us through our minds, through our artificial means of creation, because there was something we wanted to experience, and it allowed us to experience that which, you know, maybe we weren't patient enough to have in the organic, or maybe it wasn't just going to happen in the organic. So, you know, it really is creation, you know, almost at its finest, actually.
Yeah, you're right. I get
But if the journey is to, if your goal is, I want to end up in the fifth dimension, because we are at a crossroads right now. Have no doubt about that. This time in history is everybody that's going to go into the fourth dimension and play with their time creations, when they're done, they're going to come back to this moment again, because this moment will always exist as the portal to when you're done being a creator in those dimensions and you want to start, you know, working your way out of this universe, and your next space is the fifth dimension to gather the pieces of self that you have in the fifth dimension. The only way that's going to take place is by gathering the pieces that you have scattered all over the universe. I mean, I listen to people give me all sorts of rationalizations why they don't have to feel the pain. And I'm telling you, I got caught up in it this week, you know, where I was like, yeah, okay, you know, maybe you're right. And then I did, you know the cheese doodle tiger guy? The guy, the cheese doodle icon that sells it on the commercial, and he goes like this, he goes, you
know, no.
Well, it's one of the commercials. You know, I basically shook my head and went, no. Feelings is the only way I'm getting out of this space. And again, feelings with mastery is that, exactly like you shared earlier, Janine, feeling bad, but you know, I'm not looking. Here's the ironic part: feeling bad and not looking to dump it. I don't take in negative feelings and then go, where can I get rid of this?
Right.
I take
right.
in negative feelings and go, okay, now transmute it, Goldie. You know,
yeah.
Make it into love, because the love is simply the recognition that I'm taking myself back in so I can get into the fifth dimension, which is really, it's a dualistic space, but it's much, much easier to play in, you know, than under the, you know, once we get past the fifth dimension, there's the big void, and then, you know, the fourth, the third, the second, and the first is, you know, it's hell down here. But now we're here. You want to get out? That's the way to get out. I'm so glad Janine's home. I'm just so glad you're home. I can't say that enough.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Hey, Lala, are you Jerry? I think you are, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if you are.
Wait, what?
She's a friend of mine from, we used to work at a healing center together. And I believe that's her, but I'm not. Oh, it's Brandy. Oh, it's Brandy. Yeah, right on. She's from George's website, from George's Forum, or the formerly known as George's Forum. You know, now it's Prince and a sign. I'm only joking. Right on, Brandy. Okay, right on. Okay, I have another friend called Lala. That's an interesting nickname. So, anyways, So now I was telling everybody that I was thinking about having people call in, and you know, I feel very grateful today because, you know, another thing from the organic timeline, which is truly amazing. Me and Scott have been through serious challenges the past weekend and this weekend, and you know, and of course I honor that we're going through challenges. We're going through frequency changes, and you know, and you know, part of his structure, you know, he's got the Asperger's and the autism. This is he processes things, oh my God, so differently than I do. But the love between us is real. And it really came to an accumulation on Valentine's Day. He gave me a beautiful card for Valentine's Day. Then our world went into chaos and we completely fell apart. And then today he's done a few things that I'm going to keep private, but they were really sweet and really loving. You know, and I just so clearly get that, you know, true relationships, true relating, you know, is, you know, ultimately the best thing I could have given him this weekend was space. And I personally find that if you can give your partner, your friends, your children, I really don't think it matters who we're relating to, you know, because I've seen you do it with me, Janine, where you just give me space when I need space. And it's so interesting because I know how good I feel to take it, and I'm really learning now how truly honoring and honorable it is to give space.
Very nice.
Yeah, because, you know, I had an opportunity this weekend yesterday to my old program was, you know, you must go over there and find out why Scott's not calling you. I mean, Scott didn't call me or email me. He basically went on blackout this weekend. And, you know, I was like, last weekend he went on blackout because he was pissed at me. So I understood that. And this weekend I was like, what, we're breaking up now? I don't get it. Are we breaking up? Why aren't you calling me? What the fuck? I don't get it. You know, and Janine's in Ireland. I had, you know, I didn't know what to do. And I was talking to my friend Ryan from Australia. And He had a really poignant question, and I swear to God, I went, there it is, which shifted me. And I want to share the question that he had because I thought it was so profound that between the interview I had with Jeanette Wolf and me and Scott having all these fights, I was in a fear-filled space that I wasn't sure if it was time for me to break up with Scott. I was like, And I kept feeling like I'm with him because I'm afraid to be alone. I was tracking myself going, you know, it's really not working between us. And I'm every time he talks to me about breaking up, I mean, I bawl my eyes out. Oh, please, baby, let's not do that. Let's do anything. Let's just not do that. And I'm like going, and yet the other days in the week, you know, I'm feeling very, you know, I'm not feeling like we're having this loving relationship. And then Ryan said to me, he goes, "What is the fear you're feeling a program that's running?" And I swear to God, that hit me so profoundly because I went, I don't know. But we had like a 3-hour conversation, and I went, as we talked, I went, oh my God, it is. Because he literally was just saying to me, it was like an NLP session. He didn't even know he was doing it at the time, but he goes, just step out of your fear and see what love would say. And as he said those words to me, I literally had a visualization of myself in a dark, shadowy space, and I stepped out of the circle into the light. It was a radiance. It wasn't like, you know, there's no calling in any ascended masters or any of that nonsense. It was just a radiant space, and it literally said, "Don't do anything. Just give Scott space." And I went, "Oh my God!" Like. Because oh my goodness, thank you, right on. Oh my, right, because we don't oh my God around here no more. I'm even conscious of that sexually now, which takes away some of the sex, but I don't care. I'm not giving that being that my he's not getting my nookie no more. but I swear to God. Oh my God, because I mean, oh my goodness. Well, because the simplicity in that answer was so profoundly, it literally was a tsunami wave of truth that just give him space, because Scott is going through a tremendous shift right now. Tremendous. I mean, his mother is going to inevitably move in, and she has Alzheimer's, and his job is, you know, is essentially the Titanic. We're just wondering when he's going to get off the boat. I mean, it's huge changes, and on top of the Asperger's, it's like, oh my God. And like, you know, can you give him a week or two to have a breakdown, Goldie? You know, can you allow that? And I'm like,
yeah.
And once I'm in love, I'm like, of course I can allow that. What was I even thinking not to allow that? And I'll tell you what I was thinking not to allow that was, a little birdie came into my head and said, "You don't feel good, get out." And see, that is the insidious, in my humble opinion, the danger of saying your thought, change your thoughts to make yourself feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Am I explaining that correctly? Because I really want to.
Yeah, I'm following it.
Okay.
No, it's yeah, and I was thinking, you know, once again, I guess it's funny how I'm adding the other side to it again, which is like the third time I'm doing that tonight, which is fun, because
I was going to say, it's what you're good at. That's what you're here for,
what you
babe.
Just
I mean,
said, when you said, Ryan asked you, and it was a great.
Well, is the fear a program?
to me, what also was the ability to shift a perspective is an amazing ability, because you could take yourself out of the shadowy fear place, ask yourself what would love do, and give him space. And then I was thinking, and here's where this is what I seem to be doing tonight, but the reason you're able to see that and give him space is because you've allowed yourself to have space as well, and you can even acknowledge when you recognize how I can give you space, and I can only give you space because I know how to give myself space.
Exactly.
So it's like this great what we do for ourselves within, we are able to do for others on, you know, on
there
the
it
outside.
Is. There
right?
it
so,
is. Because,
so,
oh, go ahead.
It's, and that's exactly even what I was saying about judgment, because as we are able to kind of see things differently, where, you know, it's just honest, like, observation. It has nothing to, where that then, or meeting the challenge, where the self-judgment starts to diminish, and then that actually affects our less being judged, less judging of others. And so these are all those what we do for ourselves within, we are affecting those on the outside as
right
well.
On.
And so, and vice versa. It's like and that's why when you talk about, and the person who does that more and more and walks into a room, they affect people by their very internal process, because it's just authentic, it's real, it's organic, and it's unshakable. These are the natural change masters of the environment organically.
Well, and one of the things you'll notice, and I invite everybody to watch for this, when the people are basically, you know, kind of encouraging thoughts change how we feel, if you listen to it, there's no compassion in what they're saying, because it's all about you are completely creating your reality. It's all you. Now, and of course, I agree with that. But when it's from the mind space, there's no compassion for us to fuck up.
Empathic body, visceral, all.
Well, where does
feeling.
It say? Where is it in? Where is it written that I'm going to make mistakes in here? Because in the mind program, if I'm making a mistake, they'll change the thought. You know, it's intolerable. We can't have that. And it's like, well, and I think to myself, going,
no,
that's robotic. That's not human. That's just not simply a part of the human experience.
The movie Moonstruck, where Nicolas Cage goes, "No, we're here to love the wrong people and make a mess out of our lives." And
exactly.
It's just fantastic how he goes off on that whole, like, you know, life is messy and, you know, we're here to break our hearts. And, you know, and he was just so great. But it is like, it is about getting down in there. It is about letting go and going after the shadowy, fiery monster, you know, because it's
right.
Us. You know, and
because
it's self. So I love that. This isn't about, you know, doing it right or get away from those bad feelings
you're welcome to do that. And I'm telling you, you're going to go into a time loop, because that's what it is. It is an artificial aspect of life because I said to Ryan, you know, Ryan's, I think, 30. And he's just playing with this, which I give him credit for. He's very open. But I said to him, I go, listen, I'm 48 today. I got here because I have done lots of time loops. I think the whole game of being human is we come down, we totally create, and we step on toes, and we kill ecosystems, and we crush things, and we just make a fucking mess of everything.
Right.
But in the meantime, we're having a ball because we're creating. And then, you know, when it's time to come up, because we reach that point, it's almost like the out-breath. Okay, the out-breath is the creation. Now as we come back into the in-breath, you know, the first thing we want to do is, okay, how do I get out of this without feeling anything? Because, all right, I get it. I screwed up a little bit, but, and the whole idea of playing by the mind only is essentially, you know, a way to say, I don't want to have to feel what I created. I want to skid by it, which is fine on some levels. But what it ultimately is in truth is you just became vulnerable to the toes you were stepping on coming in. Because these fourth dimensional beings who are contracted, you know, to really give us challenges and work us to quote-unquote slavery, well, that's all because, you know, when we came in, because I was talking to a friend of mine who he hasn't worked in months. He's so miserable. I feel so bad for him. And I'm going, listen, I'm not far behind you. I just, you know, he takes it as such an identity. You know, it's a strike to his identity. And he's a father and he can't pay child support. So, I mean, I understand what he's saying. But what I was, you know, sharing with him, I go, you probably were beheading people in your last lifetime, you know, off with their heads, you know, if you didn't like something somebody said, you know, because it feels like on some level, you know, there's karma where, you know, if, you know, George has in one of his questions, as a ruler, would you be a ruler that was about, oh, wow, okay, wait, we got a caller, I got to take this call.
Okay.
A very special caller.
Hello. Happy birthday, Golden Hawk.
Oh, guess who that is? It's
I
Scott. It's Scott.
Oh, wow.
Thank you, baby. Say hello to everybody,
you're
baby.
Welcome.
Really nice.
Say hi.
Hello.
Say hi to Janine, anyways.
Hello,
Janine.
Welcome
well, thank
back.
You,
if
baby.
You're back from Ireland. Hmm?
Oh, Scott, oh, nice to meet
thank
you.
Thank you. I just got
yep.
in today.
Well,
it was great. Thank
you.
You
had a good trip. And I hope you are having a great birthday, Golden Hawk, and a great show on your birthday.
Thank you. He's nervous. I love you, babe. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
I'll see you in the bedroom after the show.
Okay. If I'm awake.
I love you, baby.
All right. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Happy birthday.
Bye, this is fantastic.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. I told him
I'm
I was going to act surprised.
I'm done. I'm done.
No, the truth is, I asked him, I go, babe, will you call my show tonight? I want you to be a part of the show, and, you know, and that was big for him. I mean, that was a huge move.
It doesn't get any better than that.
No, I love him. I love him. I love where, I love now that I can feel it, both of us had a breakthrough.
Yeah,
so we're back
too.
To a space where it's a new level, but it's a level of, you know, we're lighthearted around each other. We're not... You know, and I'm not saying it's not going to happen again. You know, the shit's going to hit the fan again.
Of course.
And again and again and again until it's time for us to be completely filled up and we go to the fifth dimension. Who knows when that'll be, but...
That was beautiful, and I am so happy I got to be here for that.
Oh.
Are you really? That was amazing.
Yeah, he was nervous, I could tell. I could tell.
No, I couldn't, you know?
Really?
No.
No. Oh,
very nice.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. I like I said, I was gonna play it off like I didn't know, but I saw the number, right? And I'm just still, you know, I'm in my thing. I see numbers on the chat room all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I hear him in the other room going,
oh,
ahem.
Love it.
Yeah.
My night is made.
Aw, you're awesome, Jen. You're awesome. Well, I mean, it's a...
No, but I truly can appreciate that. You know, I think that... therein lies the result. I mean, it's just amazing to me.
Yeah.
Scott calls it. You know, it's just so nice. Wow.
Well, you know, because you know what I love about you? I invite this for everybody. See the majesty of the small things.
Oh,
I mean,
it's where it all counts.
It really is. And I'll tell you, it's in the extraordinary and the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
When the big things hit, whether it's a super storm, you know, whatever it is, even if it's a death in the family, which can be a super storm, you know, from a perspective of, you know, the microcosm. When you've noticed the small things, it's the strength. You know, it's kind of the wind beneath your wings kind of thing that it really, you start learning that it's everything. In fact, I believe it's the programming that says, you know, it has everybody looking for the $1 million winner with a lottery ticket or, you know,
yeah.
having, you know, getting on Oprah so you can sell 100 billion
oh,
books.
Absolutely, that's the, you know,
this hook and this, you know, this carrot, the big carrot in life where, you know, or you could find the extraordinary in, you know, in your, in Brandy will recognize this, in an infant's giggle.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, those are the moments when you go, this is it, it's happening. And it's the, you know, I was in Ireland as we were talking, and I went to read at these schools in the local area of where David and I wrote the story that was inspired. And it's a beautiful, remote, you know, West Kerry, Dingle Peninsula. It's a valley, and then there's some surrounding schools, and they're small, and you know, they're just
it was really important for me and him, and we wanted to go share the book and do a reading and say, hey, you know, you're where you live is amazing, and look what happened. You know, this is what happened from your beautiful area. And David kind of plays around with the tin whistle, which is also a flute, but it's a local Irish instrument that, you know, is very inexpensive and it's traditional. And so I said to David, oh, maybe you'll play your tin whistle in one of the classes. And he looked at me like, I don't know. You know, he said, I don't know, maybe I'm going to get shy. And I was like, fine, you know, whatever.
Right.
So we're in one of the classes, and maybe they're like 8, 9-year-olds, eight and 9-year-olds, and there's like 40. And in this little school in Castle Gregory. And we see a tin whistle on one of the kids' desks, and we go, ooh, you guys play the tin whistle. And the teacher just looks at them all, and he goes, oh, yeah. And next thing you know, he, like, just gives them, like, a gentle little, like, okay. All 40 of them play us the tin whistle together.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking, here it is. We came to give them something, and David and I, basically, we knew we were having one of those moments where it was so special, such a gift, and I felt like, Janine, does it get any better? I mean, and
exactly.
we were just so moved, and it was one of those moments, and then we went to another school, and then we went back to give them some art, and again, the guy misunderstood us because we were looking just for some sheet music for Tin Whistle, and next thing you know, he has the kids playing us Fairy Tale of New York. Tin Whistle, and David and I, our eyes were watering. It was so incredible.
Oh,
and
nice.
This is just one of those moments, like Scott calling.
Yeah.
You just know that it's so special, and you know, I just felt so lucky, and it was unpredictable. But we had put ourselves in a position, which I guess we do every day, where these kinds of situations can show up. And
yeah,
it's wonderful when you recognize it.
Absolutely.
You know,
and not only wonderful, you really, if you're not recognizing it, you're missing, you know, wasn't it Einstein that said every moment is a miracle if you choose to see it that way?
Yeah, yes. And you know, so when you said, oh, you know, this is, I genuinely didn't. And when you said Scott, I was like, wow. You know, and even for him to talk about my trip, you know, it's just so... I just felt really, it was like, wow, that's incredible. So, you know, it is just another one of those moments where...
Yeah, right on, right on.
The kids played the flute.
Well, isn't that the same type of flute they played on the Titanic?
Probably. Yes, it's very folk, you know, and it's a traditional, inexpensive...
Yeah, well, and what's your name? Celine Dion made it famous with that song from the...
Yeah.
You know, yes, yes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, it definitely is that instrument.
Oh, right,
and,
right.
Yeah.
We should get him to play something for an intro if we can.
Who,
or you
Scott?
Can. You can.
Or...
No, David.
Oh, the flute, yeah.
Yeah, David, I mean, Scott can play the tuba or the trombone.
No, you're right. David plays, it's kind of upbeat, fast, intricate, and, you know, that's his kind of style. It's natural for him. Whereas the kids play a more sort of very Irish folk, you know, it's just
more
tunes.
Culturally what they hear, what they know.
Yeah. The Irish tunes. And,
nice. That's a beautiful story.
Else,
right on.
There was something else that was relevant, but it just popped out, so it'll come back.
Well, we were also talking about the gatekeeper, and I do want to...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I had actually muted.
Well, you know, it's fun. You know, it's fun.
You're unmuted again, babe. Just so you know.
Okay. You know what's fun about the gatekeeper and what we were just talking about?
Okay.
Oh, I remember now. That I have a feeling that these moments of appreciating the magic and the miracle in these is really like. Gatekeepers don't have a chance.
Which is, I think that, you know, and I think that's I agree.
Yeah, and this is also very interesting because it's similar. I really.
Oh, we were talking about a crossroads too, right? Okay.
Okay, because this is interesting because the last day I was there, which was on this, well, the last day that I was doing something was a Saturday, and I was going to read, which was really fun, to like a group that had been told I would be reading. So I sat at a table and then we had they had chairs set up, and I literally did like a reading. But I never really practiced because every group, you know, I kind of wait to see what I'm feeling, and then I'll start. So I didn't even realize what I was saying, but this woman came up to me, an adult woman, and she brought up her husband who had missed the beginning, and she said, "Can you tell him what you said when you opened up?" Because it was so inspiring, and basically what, and I said, "Could you remind me?" And she said, "Oh yeah, it was about the most incredible things come out of the you know, out of nowhere when you're willing to say yes to the unknown." And I said, "Oh, okay," because in the jacket of the book, it opens up with a question, and you know, this is mostly for children, but you know, fairy tales are for everybody. Right. It says, "Why do some say yes to unknown places?" And then on the bottom it says, "Who wants to go on an adventure?" And I said, "This book is a result of saying yes to unknown places." And I said, "What's extraordinary is that when you put yourself in the position of saying yes to the unknown, that's when all the stuff, like to me, that's what just happened with Scott. I put myself in Ireland in front of those children after 5 years of writing a book, and they're playing the flute to me." It's putting yourself in saying yes to the unknown is how these things happen. It's by no means is it, you know, staying safe in your controlled environment, well, which is ironical because none of it, you know, we may think it's controlled and we might think it's safe, but it's not. It's like the more you can step in and into the unknown, you get these extraordinary moments. And you know, so she asked me to repeat that to her husband because I have a feeling by the look on his face he really needed to hear that.
Right on.
Which was, "Don't be afraid, say yes to the unknown." I could just feel it.
Yeah.
And somehow, to me, this is related to diminishing the gatekeepers. Because when you're enthralled by the unknown, when you challenges, you know that by meeting challenges, there's just these moments of treasures of sweet, you know, like where people amaze you or moments amaze you. That's the gatekeepers just no longer are gatekeepers. They're gone, you know. So, and that's when life takes on this.
And I wouldn't say that they're gone. I would say, well, they're gone, but on a personal level, you know, I believe that the gatekeepers.
Well, that's what I mean.
Okay,
for the person,
right.
For the person who's experiencing.
Then archetypically, you know, they're still there for, you know, because this is the journey for all of us.
Exactly. Archetypically, exactly. They are there, but not for the person who's saying yes to the unknown places. You know, being excited by challenge, even, you know, just doing it anyway. I mean, you know, sometimes you can lay there in the middle of the night and go, "What am I doing?" And it's like, not going to buy into that tape.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, just
exactly.
Do it. Who cares?
Well,
you know?
Right. And it is easier said than done on some level. And then on another, because, you know, one of the tags, it's so funny, Blog Talk Radio has, I've been kind of like, you know, cruising Blog Talk because it's a whole new, they have a new website, and
right.
So I've been just like whatever, I don't even have to mention that. Anyway, so they were showing most popular tags, which is the things, you know, I put on that if people are searching for the show. And here, wait, I opened up the page. You know, spiritual was one of the most popular tags, and I can appreciate spiritual, but on our tags, first of all, I've decided Golden Hawk and Janine Kimmel, that's one of our tags, because I think people are actually starting to look for us on all levels of dimensions. But the last one I put was Curiosity of the Unknown.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah.
I've been looking at that.
Yeah.
Isn't that perfect?
You know, and I'm like, because I really do get that, you know, the truth is we're moving into a new paradigm where the old doesn't apply. And you know, and when people say, well, you know, are we doing that? Well, you know, the Pope stepped down and the Rockefellers have left the country. The Bushes can't leave the country. And, you know, I've been reading Ben Fulford's stuff, who is his writings read like the chronicle of a comic book, to be quite honest. I mean,
Who's this, Goldie?
Benjamin Fulford was at one point affiliated with Forbes magazine. I'm not sure if he was the editor. He lives in Japan. He is essentially, I would call him a peer to David Wilcox, who is also doing a lot of the whistleblowing of the financial, quote-unquote, the government elite, even though Ben Fulford will actually say, you know, that there are beings from, you know, that the elite aren't the top. Beyond the elite, there are actually, you know, beings not from, you know, this planet, the off-world beings. That's who the elites are answering to. And on his website, he's got once a week he does these newsletters, and I started reading them from like 2010 to present. And I mean, it's amazing to me how many times nuclear war has been threatened, and I'll tell you, in my humble opinion, nuclear war, I believe those buttons have gotten pushed on so many occasions. I believe personally, this is just my belief, and this is one of those, this is just my belief. I think it is entities that fourth dimensional entities that are going, you're not going to blow up the herd. You know, like, we're not going to let you, even though they want to use fear in everything, when you know, some knucklehead human politician actually hits the button, you know, they literally step in. So, in other words, the ones that are really, you know, manipulating us the most are also the ones saving us, because they're not going to let their herd. And, you know, I don't think they care, quote unquote, too much about the planet, but they do, as long as we're on it, because we are the source from which, you know, they're deriving, you know, their life force and their DNA. So, but it just cracks me up, because, you know, reading all of this, where, like, I had a conversation with my dad, and I was telling him that, you know, the goal of the, you know, of the planet, there's 180 countries right now that are on board to essentially, what the goal of the world is to end war, end the military being a faction of war, make the military something that's life-enhancing instead of life-diminishing, get the free energy out there, feed the planet, everybody, and also ecologically, they have technologies now that can take salt out of the salt water, so they're going to use the ocean water to plant life into deserts. So they're going to re-green the planet. And like, there are, you know, I mean, there's 180 states, countries on board. There's 28 that are still under, quote-unquote, the cabal. You know, and you know, I've been, you know, keeping my eye a little bit on this, the Opt. I don't know if you're familiar with the Opt, which is...
No, not really. I saw it on Lisa Harrison something, but I
yeah,
no
she's very...
And
I recommend, if you want to hear about it, that is clear. Lisa Harrison is... She's really been doing several shows on it. And, you know, it's really essentially about, you know, taking our sovereignty back, that it's been stated that the banks have gone into foreclosures, and... you know, essentially, if you learn about the system through the legal ease, at this point in time, the February 25th, 2013, you don't have to pay your mortgage anymore. You don't have to pay these things. It's about understanding the system has gone down and it is defunct. But the people at the top, the elite at the top, are basically going, but we're not going to announce it. So if you still feel the need to pay your mortgage, then they're more than happy to take your money. And
I, the reason why I'm sharing this is because, see, the changes that are happening, for me, I'm seeing it as, see, we got to participate in the changes that are happening. You know, there are so many new paradigms that are clearly coming into the planet, and I know this simply just because of the things I investigate, and that stems from investigating satanic ritual all the way through to, you know, Ben Fulford writing about, you know, the financial situation of the planet. It just inherently, what it tells me about all these things for myself is I've got to show up. There's work to be done, but it's work that, what I would call, and I think, again, Brandy will totally resonate with this, it's like raising a child. It's a labor of love.
Right.
You want to get up in the middle of the night and feed that kid because, by golly, you want to feed that kid. And so your soul and the journey of your soul at this point, I invite everybody to start looking at the journey of your soul as a labor of love, not as something that's, that is, you know, can I get out of class and play hooky from right now? Now is not the time to play hooky when the game you're talking about is your soul, in my humble opinion, because, you know, there's going to be tremendous events, in my humble opinion, tremendous events that are once the cabal is literally moving the chess pieces. I'm sorry, not the cabal, the reptilians. The alien beings that have an invested interest in the human energy field are moving the players as we speak. And again, I'll frame this as this is my opinion.
Yeah.
And when it all comes down to it, yes, they're definitely going to come as the heroes, and they're going to plant the gardens in the deserts, and they're going to bring out the free energy. But there will be a caveat attached to that, that inevitably, you know, when they sense, however they sense it, that the planet's going to go into the fifth dimension, they're going to have the big roundup, and, you know, it's everybody get on the ships, or everybody go through the stargates, because they're going to want to get us off the planet. You know, they can't, remember, we're bitter tasting ourselves when we're in any kind of virtue, when the whole planet's in a virtuous being, so to speak, because she's no longer in a third dimension or fourth dimension or first or second, for that matter, as well. You know, they won't be able to be on the planet. So with that being said, I'm just saying the preparation, in other words, that you're doing for yourself now is so that you can, A, handle the frequency when she turns into a being of, you know, a fifth-dimensional being. Even though I guess, you know, according to George, she is already fifth-dimensional, and I can hear Dennis right now going, we're already fifth-dimensional, and George agrees with that. I think it really is a matter of, you know, because I look at it and go, okay, I agree, I'm fifth dimensional, but my experience is still very third dimensional and some fourth dimensional. But, you know, I'm mostly third dimensional dealing the relating of, you know, me and my boyfriend, me and my friends, me and my guests, me in the woods. You know, I mean, that's the relating I'm working with. So, you know, it's not about whether I have sight to see angels or fairies. That's really not important for me in the sense of, because, you know, they're going to do whatever work they need to do to get balanced so they can come with us, you know. And some of the fairies probably won't. You know, like George says, there's trees that aren't going to come with us, and there's animals that aren't going to come with us. And, shit, remember what my little girl Allie said about the dolphins?
Yeah, remind me, though, exactly what she said.
Well, I mean, I'll paraphrase, but essentially my little nine-year-old, who is another a little girl that I've been nannying for since she was, like, two, she basically said that the dolphins are working with the reptilians, and that a lot of people are, I mean, again, I'm paraphrasing. She basically said a lot of people are being duped by the whole dolphin energy. And, I mean, she's 9 years old, and ask Janine. Janine has spoken to her directly. This kid's just got this wisdom that it's like, whoa, like,
And there is some darkness to her. She dances in shadow spaces even at nine. But when she said that to me, that did not ring as an untruth. I because remember, the whole world is upside down and inside out right now, based on
right,
conditioning.
And you wouldn't want to jump to a conclusion that she's wrong, because I think that that would be being closed to a possibility that, you know, which I think a lot of us immediately, when we hear something that goes against what we thought, you know, like, oh no, you know, then we, you know, we. So I think it's important to consider what she says as truth or having truth, and
yeah,
know, talking to her.
It was just an interesting thing because I've never heard a person say a bad thing about a dolphin. And come on, let's be honest. All beings have
all types in their
species. It, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a challenge question or a challenge. It's a challenge, you know, answer or that, because it does. You're right. It's it, you know, everybody would say, oh, how could you know? Oh, no way. But I think, if that's your immediate response, then you might want to at least, the good practice would be, well, let me consider that, because
I think that
the deceptions a lot of times lie in those places where we are unwilling to consider something, you know.
Well, that even not
about,
just, that's
by
it.
The way, by the way, here I go again
go
about
girl.
Ourselves.
Well, no, because you know, whenever George says in his interviews, where do you think is the greatest place for the dark to hide?
Right, exactly.
And you know where they hide? In the light. That is the greatest space for the dark to hide. I mean, like, and people are like, no, that can't be. And it's like, well, that's why they're probably hiding on you. I mean, you know, it's like...
Exactly, and see, I think that is such a really provocative... I love how provocative that is, because... there are certain things about ourselves that we're convinced are a certain way, and it's like, but are you willing to see that differently? Are you willing to that is a program, let it go, you know, what if, it's that what if what you believed actually, right, you know, it could be very similar to the dolphin thing, and it's like, can you handle that? And it's like, yeah, why not?
Well,
why?
Because to
why
me, doesn't that feel organic? Of course there's going to be some dolphins that are probably, you know,
no,
sneaky,
but it, but it
tricky
also
dicky.
Feels very organic that that same process would be appropriate to ourselves. Like,
exactly.
And I love that because, see, you know how sometimes they say, you a lot of times what you'll say is very provocative, but I love that because that's what we need to be about ourselves, you know. Because we get very comfortable in what we think we know about ourselves, and it's like, why, you know?
Well,
I mean,
well,
I'm,
because
I mean,
we're
I'm
taught that comfort
right now.
We're taught that comfort is the goal. I mean, see, again, upside down, inside out. Where
or just when you think, oh, you know, I've arrived or I'm close to arriving, it's like, no, you just got, you know, now you got a lot more to go, you know. It's like,
yeah, well, and but I think inevitably that becomes obvious, you know. In other words, I've worked around the wealthy pretty much my entire, you know, adult life as a nanny, and you know, it's so funny because people who are poor think the answer is the money. And
right,
yet,
of course. That's that checklist I was talking about.
Well, exactly. And then you work around. And when I work around them, you know, as a nanny, you know, I'm inside, you know, I'm with their kids, and you'd be surprised what kids say, even though most of the kids I worked with were infants and toddlers. But the truth of the matter is money is not love, not by any stretch. And I can clearly see the people that just because they have money and don't have love, they're insecure. They're backstabbing themselves and their friends, and you know, they're lonely. You know, it's like, and you know, I say to myself, shit, I'm poor and I feel those things. You know, like it's not money allows us to play things and buy things, but it's the Eckhart Tolle work. You can't buy presents. You can't.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how much
they
try to sell you a DNA activation, it's not present.
No, No, but I love what you just reminded me about what George says, you know, hiding the dark in the light, you know. It's so the dolphin.
It's profound.
Story, it's,
because
yeah,
that's
it is.
Really not it said. You're not hearing that in the religions. I mean, you know, you're not hearing that in education.
No.
You're not hearing it from our government with all, you know, war on this, war on that, you know. And you know, and I think what it is, it's once we get to the paradigm breaker
mm-hmm.
that the dark is hiding in the light, it's almost like it's the domino that allows us to see, okay, so what's really going on here? Because
yes.
you know, and that is such a significant space to be in order to be fluid enough to know how to navigate in the energy that is coming into the planet now based on the center of the galaxy. Because, see, the center of the galaxy, the energy is the unconditional love. I mean, you can see it. Everybody's awareness is increasing. It doesn't matter, you know, what we're doing, you know, whether you're doing self-help or not. Everybody's awareness is increasing. But in that increasingness, we can be manipulated through the light to literally, you know, like turn it off, run away from it, i.e. with this whole thing of if the reality is all you, you're creating it all, change your thoughts, change your life. And, like, you know, that is a great thing because if it tells me I don't have to work with my emotions, I'm in. But funny, after 17 years of playing that game, the only thing that's ever changed my life was feeling my emotions. You know,
yeah.
like, you see, the truth is you can't trick me with that one anymore because I walked the yellow brick road and I got up to the goddamn, you know, curtain. I pulled it back and the guy said, well, now go out there and collect all your pieces. It's like, oh, really? Oh, my God. You know.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's exactly what I mean by just when you think you've arrived, it's like, nope, got to go feel those feelings, get down
exactly.
in there. You know,
exactly.
face all those challenges, face yourself, consider that the dolphins all aren't all that we thought. You know, I mean, they break up those belief systems that I think are really important to break up.
They're critical because, see, the whole idea of what is shifting is the paradigm.
Yeah.
Our truth that we have built our lives upon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why the pain is really the breakthrough of us becoming soulful beings, unconditionally loving. You know, and I thought it was such a poignant point that when George pointed out that, you know, the artificial love is so about stimulation. Because, you know, it's funny. He says things that they're like seeds in my being because, like, I'll go on Facebook pages or I'll listen to YouTube people, you know, just sharing their wisdom. And, you know, and I'll hear somebody say something like, you know, it was the greatest feeling. I was, you know, buzzing all around my body,
yes,
and I'm telling you, and I immediately go, okay, you're playing in the fourth dimension, you know, because when it's organic, you know, oh, how can I put, no, one of the ladies goes, I just wanted to shout it from the rooftops, and I'm going, see, you could, these are literally the breadcrumbs now from my own experience of, okay, so that's a space that I don't choose to investigate that space. Because
yeah.
I'm not looking for the buzzes in my body, you know. I mean, I was a cocaine addict for 12 years. I know what it's like to artificially stimulate and make my body feel things that aren't really natural. And
yeah.
it's overrated. But listen, if you need to follow it, go follow it, definitely. But the organic should not, you know, it can't be underestimated simply because it comes in quiet and peaceful. I mean, that, because, see, again, that's underestimating what presence, don't underestimate the quiet peacefulness of presence that like Neo, you can put your hands up and you'll either stop the bullets or they'll go right through you. Or, you know, I believe there's magic to be experienced in presence, but not on command. Like, people that say we can teach you how to, not by locate.
Well, I was going to say there's no formula to get to presence.
There's no, right, you can't sell it in a weekend workshop. Presence is already in you. The key is, one of the major keys that I have found is you got to slow down and get still. Not even necessarily quiet. My head often doesn't get quiet, but when I went in the forest, even though I'm still mind chattering, presence arises from within me. That at this point, after going on 15 years of playing in the forest, I'm aware of it, and I can make the conscious choice. It's like I just let my thoughts come and go, but I put my focused attention on that stillness inside that is just so. It's bizarre because it's very loving, but it's really like it just doesn't give a shit about anything. I always laugh how I feel great when I'm in the forest, and yet it's not like I got a job or anything dramatically has changed. The only thing that has changed is the experience I'm having from within, which, of course, from an organic point of view, is the extraordinary experience. That is huge, but it's not huge from a bells and whistle and Illuminati
the measuring
point
of tools of our society or culture or... No, it's like, is your checklist checked off? Okay, now that's when, that has nothing to do with it.
Right.
Yeah, and that's how we were talking about that right in the beginning of the show, and I don't even know how we got there in the beginning, and it's funny that we're there again.
Because I think it's what keeps showing up as when the drama hits me, it really is the presence is, because, I see this a lot on Facebook, that what you are reaching for is reaching towards you. Now, track yourself, because if you're, I can tell you that one of the paradigms I had to shift, and I told Janine this about a month ago. I had a saying that a belief that I was going to do everything I could from the emotional point of view because I did not want to feel any physical pain in my life. So I figured if I worked it out emotionally, it would never manifest as cancer or, I would clear it before it came down into my physical body. Now, that worked in the old paradigm. It worked wonderfully. I don't have cancer. I don't have tumors. I'm relatively healthy. I feel like I'm aging 100 years a day, but I'm healthy, relatively speaking. But see, now, in the new paradigm, in the new energy, see, that is working against me because the truth is, see, that was that whole thing, I don't want to feel pain.
Yeah.
And now I'm going, no, now my truth is the pain I'm going to feel is mine, and I know when it's mine. I know when it's I've been doing so much self-help and so much work, since I'm 30 on myself, I know my issues. And I would imagine almost everybody in the chat room and listening, you guys know your issues. So, and for me, I've really never had the issue of the fourth dimensional. Like, I've never had issues of feeling, I was being attacked by an entity or... I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. That's the key to what I'm not saying that. It does exist. That's just never been my experience, which is ironic because, when you're on coke, boy, I was so paranoid when I was on that stuff. But I wasn't paranoid of entities. I was paranoid of the FBI and the CIA. the things that are here. So for me, it just feels like my issues are third dimensional, but as I genuinely integrate those issues, again, it's not that I'm bypassing the fourth dimension. It's just this lifetime, I really believe that by integrating my fear of the water, by integrating my fear of being alone, that is what's necessary in my life, this lifetime, to move into the fifth dimension. And George even said that there's, maybe I worked out the fourth dimensional stuff per se, and when I say worked out, meaning I played with them. I had my entities kicking my ass and I was kicking their ass in other lifetimes. What I didn't focus on was the third dimension. So for this lifetime, for me, it's the third dimension. In fact, I can tell you that's truth, because as soon as I said that, it dropped into me, and I'm like, oh, okay. And it makes sense, because, you know, I'm all about wanting, because that's so funny. My whole journey of the mind has been about, show me how to see the angels, or show me how to see the fairies, or I want to learn magic. And all of that just kept ending up as dead ends for me. It's like, okay, nothing, you know, I'm spending a lot of money, but I'm not feeling shit. No changes. Nope, still here. I mean, and that's me personally. You know, I just wasn't feeling it. And now when I'm doing the work of the third dimension, I'm feeling confident that I can handle whatever comes at me, third or fourth dimensionally. And I'm confident that I'm going to go into this birthing with Mother Earth whenever that time shows up. I mean, I really am. I'm very confident of that. I don't know when, and I don't know the rest of my journey.
Well, I think that's currently happening, you know.
Well, and it is currently happening. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
You know, people are waiting for 2012, you know, or, you know, December 21st. It's like, hello, guys, this has been going on, you know, for a long, many hundreds of years this shifting is going on. I mean, like, I don't know. I know that. But, again, you know, I guess it's everybody's journey to know what they know. So.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, it's good to have you back, babe. I work best with you. And that is my truth. I mean, and again, I'm not, you know, I'm not putting anybody else's journey down. It's just, Janine is, you know, I'm Bonnie, you're Clyde. I just feel very, I'm just in sync where what feels organic to me, I share, you know, I'm so grateful you're my partner, my best friend, my co-host, all of it. You know, because these are very, very, very intense times we are living in. And they're intense whether you're battling fourth dimension or third dimension. Intensity doesn't, it's not prejudiced to which dimension. I mean,
right.
And that's one of the things, I resonate with the people who are being abducted from a feeling of lack of control, because I can be in a relationship like with Scott and give my power away and give my control and lose my control. Well, you know what I'm meaning? I can experience that in third dimensional relationships. And technically, what's the difference? As long as if I'm experiencing no power and control, it doesn't matter what dimension we're feeling it. That's what we're feeling.
Absolutely.
And okay. I didn't know that. I really believe.
Neither, until you just said it.
Oh.
No, it's a really good point. That's absolutely right. That's parallel. It's a parallel.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really good recognition.
Yeah. Yeah, because because people are saying the fourth dimension is the next stop, and I'm going, not necessarily. I think the fifth dimension is the next stop.
Yeah.
You know, you know, it's just, you know, it's very interesting. I love sharing, you know, and, you know, I'm open to all of this shifting by next week and me speaking of another truth. I mean, you know, because there's such, the word that always comes to mind, if you want to master these times, you really have to be open to living in the center of the paradox. It's about the mind and it's about feelings, you know, because in no way, shape, or form have I completely given up my mind. I mean, I do. I can feel it. I see when I'm reading things online, and it's all about feeding the mental energy of myself. But what Janine has brought to my world, and what I'm hoping through this radio show we bring to everybody else's world, is that have fun with your mind, play with your mind, but make your decisions based on your feelings. Choose your actions based on your feelings.
Hmm.
You know, entertain the mind, but let your feelings be the guiding source to when you're at a fork in the road, what, you know, your mind will say one thing. What do your feelings say? Follow your feelings.
In all fairness, I think people might, if that sounds challenging to someone, I think that could be a really good place to consider that the person underestimates their capacity for feeling, because I really do believe that that's where our greatest gifts are. You know, it's our humanity, but it's extraordinary in its humanity. And I think that our capacity for feeling, people might really underestimate their ability there,
yeah.
and maybe even not give it the credit that it's due. You know, so I think it's a great pool to jump into.
Yeah, no, it is the organic pool, and it really is. The pain will teach you compassion.
It's a natural spring.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, and it's just, I mean, it just amazes me how it all, you know, and the truth is, the organic utilizes the artificial anyways. You know, because that's the beautiful part. Because I got a hit at some point in these last 12 days that you've been gone that, you know, it really doesn't matter what we do, because the organic, you can't make a wrong choice. You can play with right and wrong in your head all you want. Every choice we're making is soul-inspired, and that includes, in my humble opinion, what we're attracted to, which is, you know, why it's so important to be soul connected, because then when you're attracted, quote unquote, to something dark, because it's a necessity to get yourself into balance, you don't beat yourself up for being attracted to the dark.
No, because the fun thing to remember, the beauty thing to remember, is the organic pretty much overrides everything anyway.
Well, that's
it. It's right. Where we give our power away is to forget that.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. And then, of course, the ultimate thing is that we came here to do that. You know, we're not victims of that.
Share. Nobody else is going to get this joke but you, Goldie, but Dennis just wrote "It's a Process," and I wanted to write "Billy Bean."
Well, and if you want to understand that joke, watch the movie Moneyball. Moneyball?
Watch Moneyball.
Yes,
another
Moneyball.
One of Janine's multiple watching.
Janine now knows Moneyball. She could probably write the script out. Literally, she's seen that movie so many times.
Right,
but
it's
a great
premise
movie.
Of Moneyball, which is the taking chances, following something, the willingness to just, you know, go for something so unpopular. I love that movie for the thread behind it, you know. Not because I'm not a baseball fan, but
right.
It's an incredibly well done, well written. But it's a process. It's a process.
It's a process. Well, and Brandy was writing that lately her and her husband, what they're realizing is to not beat themselves up.
That's
lately.
Nice. Yeah.
And see, this is where, for me, the mind comes in. See, the mind, I through my readings, I get the wisdom that, oh, okay. Like, I've been taught, you know, initially I was taught the soul is only the good stuff, you know, and the ego is all the bad stuff.
Right.
See, and that's where the beating up comes from, because, okay, well, if I'm attracted to the bad stuff, then, you know, damn it, I'm not following my soul. But, you know, through my own investigation of this, nothing could be further from the truth. The soul utilizes the dark stuff because it's about experience. It's not, soul doesn't give a shit if it's organic or artificial. The soul itself just is here to garnish the experience.
Yes.
You know, and of course we would, now I'm at a space where it makes so much sense. Like, the soul is so brilliant, of course it knows how to utilize the artificial, because gosh, we're steeped in it. If it couldn't utilize the artificial, how could we get out of it?
You know, and with those things
that's
in mind,
a paradox.
But you're no longer part of the herd when you really live that way and you get it. And you're like, you know, that's when, you're not living in that deception, which is giving your power away and being part of the herd, you know? And so...
And that, again, is when you're feeling that, when you're feeling, you know, really disconnected from whether it's your family or a forum or any kind of group, but it's coming from within. That's how you know you are talking to your soul.
Exactly.
Because your soul is going, your soul will guide you. It's time to wake up. We're going home. And you're not going to take it, the whole family with you. In all honesty, the only one you can guarantee you're taking is self. Other than that, there are no guarantees that anyone or anything is going to come with us. I mean, and but there's a trust. I mean, I'll be honest. I know Janine's going. I don't know if Scott's going. He might be, and he might not be. I don't know. I think, and I hope Dakini's going. That's who I've had my eye on. Those three beings. You're welcome. You're welcome, Brandy. Truly, you're such a beautiful person, and you know, beating ourselves up is, you know, it ultimately what it becomes is it's a practice to continue to not like if you feel yourself beating yourself up, you know, take some deep breaths, go wherever you go where you can get to the space where you can have the words, but you disconnect from the story because. Mm. You know, like I said, the judgment is still in my head. I'm just no longer responding to it as if it's, you know, thoughts don't create my actions. My feelings do. And another thing that I've noticed, hands down, the outside world does not dictate how I feel within. Now, I'm not saying I'm not triggered by the outside world, but the majority of my experience is created by me, by spending time in nature, by allowing myself to feel bad in order to have the breakthrough and the alchemy, you know, so I can leave this, you know, inevitably leave this dualistic space. And there's a paradox of, and the more I do this and I'm in sync with it, the less I feel the need I have to leave. I know it's coming, but I'm not waiting for it to come. I'm simply doing what needs to be done in the moment, knowing that will be taking place whenever it's time to take place. You know, it's, you know, freaking paradox. that's another paradigm. If you can't embrace the paradox, in my humble opinion, pardon my French, you're fucked. You got to embrace the paradox because that's what's necessary in order to bridge the two worlds. If you can't embrace it, then you're not ready to bridge the two worlds.
Goldie. That's right. That's right.
Yes,
I love that
one. Marcia. Speak, my love.
This poem that I wrote, and I wondered if I could read it for your birthday.
Sure.
I was going through here and I kept hearing read one and this one came because you kept talking about Brandy and Scott phoned in and I'm thinking of Joe, he's away, and Janine and her lovely trip to Ireland. I'd love to.
Thank you.
so this is I just entitled it Marriage.
Okay.
I am your heart who sings in the day, singing when night falls, knowing that you see me, beyond an expression that no one knows, knowing that I see you and give to you, to your name inside the beauty of your spirit. And when I lay upon your breast at night, listening to your heart speak, I hear what your song means to the rhythms of life. As trouble comes, I see you standing before me, forgetting my name, heart ripped open, a gaping wound, and speak without mercy, tearing the wings of love from your back, a sword poised to strike upon the bones left bleached upon mine, feathers gone, plucked by pain. I scream, you scream, the pain real. I forget your name, I lay in a pool of tears, broken, alone, and misery. And there you remember this dance. You remember your name of your heart. You remember my name. And speak it to the winds. Speak it to the sky, to the trees, to life, to creation. It speaks of shedding the shell to shine upon the grave I lay in. Your arms embrace me. I feel the sun remembering your name, forgetting my own. I hear your voice like the tingling warmth of a day's sunshine sharing a name, feeling the essence. I remember you now. I see you as I lay within your arms, embraced in love's essence. You bathe me in mystery, myrrh, cedar, and sage, and dress me in gossamer, and speak from your heart, lighting the lamps of my heart. You speak of the truth that you feel, as slowly the ice that has held me unthaws, and I remember you, this journey, this task, this blessing of a joy that we share, as now the tender being returns, you embrace my heart, and speak in love. We speak in lover's tongues, blessing that remains entwined by the song of creation.
Wow.
So that wow. I was having a fight with Joe.
You were what? You were what?
I had an argument with Joe, which we don't usually argue on that level. And it really hurt because I said to him, we had this agreement. And, you know, that's owls and eagles and everybody else agreeing to disagree.
Right.
That's when you disagree. Sometimes that it's like friends who can disagree or have opinions, you grow so vastly. Where if everything, you know, I have this pink flamingo theory where, okay, today everyone in the world is having 50 pink flamingos out on the front lawn. I don't even like them. They're ugly, right?
Well, right. You can't. Nobody can do stuff just because it's being done by everybody else. I mean,
why not?
If we're not there by 2013, I mean,
why
then
not? We believed. You know, I heard when you and Janine were talking, and you were discussing authenticity, which that's when I first came back, came on your show. That was the topic, and I was like, oh, I love these ladies. They're amazing.
Yeah.
Even
yeah. Right
oh
on.
My God.
Well, you know what I noticed, Marcia? I notice that what me and Janine share is not the it's not the majority. I'm amazed that we get 1,000 hits a week that we get, and I say that because it really is. It's the warrior's path. It's the organic path, and my instincts tell me that. It's not a very, you know, I would say it's probably out of the 7 billion, if we got, you know, maybe 2 million making this journey.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's really, you know, it's so easy to pick at it and go, you know, are you kidding me? Why would I purposely go into pain? Why would I purposely do this? Why would, you know, it's like, the fact that we have, you know, let's say it is 2 million. I mean, we have like 1% listening to the show. I mean,
that's good.
That's pretty amazing. And I love it because it does seem that, like what me and Janine are pretty much always sharing, it's not quantity, it's quality. I mean, and that's all of life. It's not, you know, you ever see that commercial now for the telephone commercial? I think it's a nationwide commercial where the guy's interviewing the kids at the table and going, do you want more? And they're like, yeah, more. Do you want bigger? Yeah, bigger. And then the kid goes, because bigger and better and more is better. And it's like, I'm going, holy shit, so obviously. I mean, like, you know, literally so obviously a program. But if it's not, you know, if people aren't awake to it, it really is, you know, it's life, and consumerism is a part of it, and war is a part of it. You know, it's like all the stuff we're living in is a part of it, and, you know, which is fine and dandy for those who still want to do it, but, you know, the truth is, for those that don't, there is a choice, there is an option, and it's you know, my new saying is, this lifetime is the greatest lifetime I'm ever going to experience, and I know that. Even though 99% of it will be experienced in hardship or challenge.
I was thinking about the whole concept of perfection, good and evil, and a chord was struck. I think it was in my 20s, and I saw this passage in a book. I took up reading all these classical books, you know, anything I could find that was about the history of the world. And one part, I can't even remember who wrote it. He said, when you find that which is true perfection, there you shall see pure evil. And I was like,
Who said this?
I can't even remember, but I knew.
Okay.
It struck a chord because it's something that I knew when I was young. Because that is what, when people cannot see that they are not broken, they are beautiful.
Right.
It causes them to go into perfection mode and they hurt people.
Right.
They're not robotic.
Welcome to Hollywood with all the plastic surgeries
and
stuff.
I used to say, I'm sorry, I forgot my lines. Oh, my God. And, I mean, even now, I'm not happy news in so many places because it's like, what did they say? Some of the comments have been, he/she. Whatever the heck that is. These are people who have met me once. I have grandkids, a new baby boy grandchild lately.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I have these grandbabies, and they love their grandma. I plant a garden. I plant herbs and flowers. I talk to animals and trees. I'm on first-name basis with them all.
And you're talking to two people who do the exact same thing. I mean, you know,
I talk about it online, on the radio.
And you know what's so interesting? Because I swear, it really is quite natural for me. I think, because I've always known, what you knew as a kid about the perfection, I've always known if people are talking about you, good or bad, it's still a compliment that people are talking about you. It doesn't matter if they're talking bad about you. And I guess I've always had that, because... You know, I didn't get kooky at 30. I've been kooky my whole life. It's so funny, as I become quote unquote awakened, I recognize I was always awakened. It was just me trying to flip myself into fitting into what the world kept telling me I was supposed to be, that was asleep, so to speak. It wasn't me asleep, it was me trying to fit into something that was clearly not my lifetime to fit into.
I think everyone, like my friends, I remember back then, we were all like specialists in our areas. I did nature. There was a couple other people who did too. There was another little boy. He was good at building. He was awesome. I was strong, so I'd lug the stuff around and we all worked together. We used to sit and talk at 8 about what is wrong with our parents.
I remember those conversations.
Like,
Dennis,
okay.
You're unmuted. You can join in too.
You know, what is... Hi.
Wonderful poem.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So, but I feel you, and I really do feel that. Well, because like I'm listening to a show lately called Shadowland Voyages, which I really like. They embrace the darkness, which I mean, I love anybody that's embracing the darkness, because I do recognize it to be such a minority point of view, and I find it interesting because, you know, there is some level that when you embrace the darkness, you know, Like, I heard my ex-boyfriend said to me just last week, you know, you went into a dark space, and I didn't want to follow you there. And I went, okay, well, so then don't follow me here. Because I think the biggest thing for me that people need to embrace in themselves when they choose to go the organic route is, you know, everybody you know might not go with you. Like, everybody, husbands, children, it doesn't matter, you know. Because ultimately, if it's not their time to go in it, would you follow somebody into the dark if it wasn't your time? I sure as hell wouldn't. I mean, unless it's coming from inside of me, I wouldn't be doing any of this stuff. You know, I wouldn't do this stuff because somebody told me to do it. I'm doing it because it's being told with, it's literally birthing itself within me. This is what you need to do because this is where we're going. And I'm like, all right, then that's what I'm doing. But I right. do understand from the perception, at least at this point in time, how the world is going, what? Really? You know, because, you know, if you've never had an experience in the fourth dimension and you're completely hooked up into your job and your toys and your you know, your payment plans and your kids going to college, and you don't even believe that there's aliens out there, you know, why would you do any of this work?
Or you're afraid to know.
Well, and I mean, and that's ultimately what it is, because I think people hide in their religions, which is so funny because religion has so much reference, and I'm talking about the major ones like, you know, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. There's so much references to other dimensional, you know, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and I mean, Islam and Muslims, boy, they've got a God for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, but they don't believe in aliens, which is like, wow. You know, like,
all that stuff is there in plain sight, you know.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
Well,
people have been hearing those words for so long that they don't even realize that in some respects, you know, others that are introducing ideas of the fourth dimension aliens, they're basically saying similar things, just, you know, but
they're
people
just
have learned to accept the religion and the leaders of religion as, oh, well, that's different or that's safe. But
right, right.
You know?
Which is really, I mean, from my perspective, a little scary personally, but again, it's scary because I don't want to go back into the Matrix from the point of view of being controlled and you know, being not challenged by, because the Matrix definitely still challenges me, but, you know, being sucked into it as if it's, you know, that's my world.
Yeah, that's right. That's the part where it doesn't feel good.
That's exactly right, which is why I want to do the feel good. That's why I want to do the darkness on my terms. Not because I intuitively know if I don't do this darkness on my terms, I'm going to be walking down the street and something's going to sucker punch me. I know that. I don't want to have to look out for the sucker punch, so I'm going to do it now. And then my energy field is what I'm learning is already 10 feet ahead of me. I can feel the guy around the corner waiting to mug me, and I can turn before I even get to that corner. I'll be on the other side of the street because my energy picked up on it. You know, it's like, and most people don't, you know, if they're not genuinely doing this, they don't get that, you know. You know, the best protection is to embrace that which you're afraid of. That is the best protection.
I was thinking,
even doesn't Carolyn Mace even say that about usually the intuition, if when you pay attention to it, is sort of encouraging you to which is challenging, and people are like, I don't want to hear that.
She said that, right, the reason why most people don't follow their intuition is because it will challenge what the people want to hear.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I completely agree with that.
Exactly. All right, listen, I don't want the show to cut off, but I want everybody, Dennis, do you want to say something real quick?
Well, just a quick question, a request. Again, welcome back, Janine.
Hi, thank you. Thank you, Dennis.
Thanks. and happy birthday, Goldie.
Thank you.
Yeah, and
I go quicker.
Okay, intrepidation. What does that mean to you guys?
Intrepidation? I don't even know what it means, so I'll give that to Janine and Marcia.
Intrepidation? I'm not sure either, except
would that be like trepidation would be approaching something with like caution or
yes.
Am I wrong there? Because I don't know.
Yes. You know, this is where fear is based from. It's taking that step, right? And moving forward.
Well, I would say courage is about taking the step. Fear is about not taking it.
Well, yeah, this is intrepidation.
So how are you using that word? I was just curious. How are you referring with that?
No, it's just being cautious. It's you're checking your A, B's, and C's, you know, before you move forward. You know, you're checking all your options. You're a little bit cautious. You're intrepidous. Right? Forward. Right?
Is that a word that's coming up for you? I was just curious why you chose that word.
Well, no. It's just that a lot of people when the word fear comes up, is there...
Well, don't speak for a lot of people, Dennis. Speak for yourself.
All right. Well, you know, it's making...
Is the word coming up for you?
Well,
is that word coming up for you personally?
Well, pretty obvious. Intrepidation.
Okay. There you go.
Anyway, I don't want to hold you up, and I don't want to.
That's
to
one way to get him off the air. All right, Marcia, do you want to say anything about intrepidation?
No, I was just sitting and thinking. Gary Zukav mentioned calling your fragments back into your heart.
Mm.
That's a
and
good one.
And I did that. There was a meditation he had about calling the Creator to bring all your fragments back into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Calling it all those things that you gave away back to your heart.
Mm.
And
oh, that's beautiful.
And you just did it like a mantra, you know?
Right.
And one
okay.
day I did that, and it was beautiful, beautiful.
Nice.
You know. I think that the word intrepidation, if there's a sensing that I was using intrepidation, I would say that that's a sign of you're on the right road. Because if you're feeling, you know, it's also one of those taps on the shoulder, like pay attention. There's something here for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the intuition is usually somewhere where we're challenged and we go, oh, no. But I would say that intrepidation would be a telltale to pay attention to what's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. But that
mm-hmm.
would be something I would say, ooh, that's you letting you know this is something important.
Mm-hmm.
So... that's what I would say about it.
Listen, her information and wisdom is priceless. You're lucky we're not charging you by the hour, Dennis.
And it's even 3 in the morning for me.
Nobody could tell that, though, Janine. Shh, no, I could tell. You are still brilliant at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Thank
all right, listen,
you.
Guys. I don't want the show to get cut off. I don't even know if it's
good.
Going to.
I feel good. The show was nice because... I'll tell you, you know, never did I feel like, wow, I'm tired. I don't. So,
oh, nice.
Cool.
There
yeah,
you
yeah,
go.
It really feels
you
good.
Always rally. But and listen, I super appreciate it because it was
thank
my
you.
Birthday.
Thank
that
you.
Was,
no,
yeah,
it was
so,
a good show. It was a
yeah.
good show.
It's so
yay.
Good to have you back. Marcia, it's great to hear from you again, too. It's, and your singing was beautiful, my friend.
Aww.
Thank you.
Thank
yeah.
you. And your poem.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. All of your whole shit and your willingness to just sit and absorb, I so respect that. That's why the only reason why I muted you is when Scott came on because, you know, he never comes on. But your respect on the air, I love when you're calling and I love feeling your energy always. So thank you. Always a pleasure.
I love people who love. I mean, people who care
to
be kind. In our world, it's wonderful. You
yes,
know.
He does.
We really need that.
Well, all we can
thank
do is
you,
be it.
Thank
all
you,
we can
Dennis.
Do is be it and show it, show the world how it's done. That's
mm-hmm.
truly,
yeah.
That's the organic way.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis, thank you for calling in. And I want to thank everybody from the chat room. Rich, for the beautiful picture. Brandy for all her shares, Trisha, Art, Susan, Elise, oh, so many people who said that they were coming
Alan.
Tonight. Thank you. Who?
Alan, my webmaster.
Alan, oh, your webmaster, and Alan for joining us energetically, and everybody that shares the show and you know, on a weekly basis, who are really involved in what we talk about, which is the integration of soul into the third and fourth dimension. I'm honored to walk this journey with all of you. And in all, in my humble opinion, look for the wind, because I think it's time to fly. I love
hey,
you,
that's
babe.
What Gandalf said. Fly!
There you go. All right, everybody. Go chase your demons and have fun.
All right. Good night, you all.
I
Bye.
Love you all. Good night. Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Love you all. Gotta go.
Oh, wow.
Bye.
I'm so glad we had
the time together.
To have a laugh or sing a song. Seems we just get started, and before you know it,